All right, Romans chapter number 12 tonight. Romans chapter number 12, and it's already been a wonderful day today, and we look forward to what God has for us in the next few moments. And my understanding is the College and Career Sunday School class wants to take on the Lopez family. And so I don't know if that's true or not, but the College and Career class is taking on the Lopez family. And so, they'll take them on for support. And so we got that cared for. And I praise the Lord for that. Romans chapter number 12, two familiar verses of Scripture. If you've been around the Bible at all, the first two verses of Romans chapter number 12 is going to be our text tonight. And certainly we've had a theme all day long that God has put together. The songs, even the testimony from our missionary, everything is going right together. And so, and the fact that I don't have to catch a 6 a.m. flight in the morning, I have great liberty tonight to preach whatever God puts on my heart. And so Romans chapter number 12, I mentioned this morning that, you know, obviously every time you open the Word of God, God's got something for us. And as you know, I like series. I like taking a little passage of Scripture and digging and digging and digging and find everything in there that I can that God has. And I love doing that. That helps us. And like our Sunday school lesson is Thanksgiving living. Not just a holiday, but it's the way we live. And I enjoy all that. But, and God speaks to us through that. But from time to time, God sends a message to His church. And I believe God has sent some messages to His church. And I believe God is sending a message to His church tonight. One that He's been working, not just the message in my heart, but the theme in my own heart. And so if God's going to put me under conviction, I'm going to just have Him do the same thing to y'all tonight. And so, because we're going to be all in this together. But Romans chapter number 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Now, Paul writes here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, I beseech you, I beg you. This isn't just like, well, just give this some consideration. No, this is like, I need your attention. You've got to not just consider, not just strongly consider, but I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living, notice that word, sacrifice. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If you mark in your Bible, and I think it's good that you do so, you ought to circle the word sacrifice and circle the word reasonable and draw a line to connect them. Because, quite frankly, I'm getting ahead of myself. A lot of times as Christians, when we're called to sacrifice, we think it's unreasonable. But God says it's reasonable. The least you can do for God is sacrifice. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I don't have time to dig way into these verses because of what I want to do tonight, but let me just point out in verse number 2, and be not, if you're going to do your reasonable service, you can't be conformed to this world. You have to stick out. You have to. Because if you blend in, you're not, I mean, let's just be honest. If you're blending in with the world today, you're not different. So how do we stick out? You got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and watch this, perfect will of God. And Brother Lopez was giving the illustration about all the different girlfriends he had in college. They were all saved, I'm assuming. They were all in Bible college. They were probably involved in ministry. But what he was looking for was the perfect will of God. Well, I can serve in this capacity, I can serve in this capacity, but is it the will of God for your life? We're talking about sacrifice, the reasonable service, the will of God. Tonight I want to preach a message I've entitled The Forgotten Call to Sacrifice. Can I just say before I pray, I'm so weary of hearing I'm not called. I agree. You're commanded. You're commanded. I'm not called. And what we say by that is, Pastor, I'm not called to preach, or I'm not called to be a missionary. And by the way, if that's the first thing you say to me, you know what I'm thinking? Oh, you are called and you're struggling with it. Now, I'm not going to call anyone. Your mom and dad shouldn't call anyone. I have not had to. I mean, when God calls, you know He's called. But let's set aside tonight that call to preach, if you will. That call to the mission field. If He calls you, don't set that aside. You answer. But I want to talk tonight about the forgotten call to sacrifice. Paul is not writing to preachers, although this applies to preachers. Paul is not writing to missionaries, although this applies to missionaries. Paul is writing to Christians on the call to sacrifice. Now, before I pray, let me say, I know this is a sacrificial church. This is a giving church. I don't want to take this message that God has put on my heart and, quote unquote, use as a stick to beat you on the head, because I know this is a sacrificial church. There are sacrificial people sitting in front of me. But that does not mean that God will not require further sacrifice. That does not mean that there's not someone in here, there's not, if I can say it like this, a generation in here that has not been called on to sacrifice like the generation before them. Let me rephrase that. I didn't say that correctly. Has not put forth the sacrifice that the generation before them. Tonight, let's talk about that forgotten call to sacrifice. I think this will help us. Father, we come to you tonight grateful for what you've done, grateful for the decisions made, grateful for this church. Father, there's no other place I would rather be. There's no other people that I'd rather serve with than the people of the Emmanuel Baptist Church. And Father, I've been here since I was 6 years of age. I've seen the sacrifice. I've lived through the sacrifice. I've watched you do miraculous things with the sacrifices of your people. Father, if we are going to do what I believe it is that you require of us to do, if we are going to do what we even talked about in the service this morning, it cannot be done without sacrifice. Father, I pray that you'll bless your people. Use the message tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a generation of comfort, convenience, and quite frankly, a consumer Christianity. People want the blessings of service without the burden of sacrifice. We want the crown without the cross, the reward without the risk, and the power of God without the price that comes with it. But if we're going to reach our city, build godly homes, raise children who love the Lord and see revival in our churches, there must be sacrifice. Serving God has always come with a cost. Yet many today serve with a mindset that says, I'll give God my Sundays, but I want my comfort. I'll give God my Sundays, but I want my hobbies. I'll give God my Sundays, but I want my lifestyle. I'll give God my Sundays, but I want my entertainment. I'll give God my Sundays, but my schedule, my success, that's what I want. Friend, that's not consecration as Paul writes about. It's convenience. Whenever I was listening to Brother Lopez talk about his time at House Anderson, of course, my mind goes back to those same times. And thinking about what was required to endure Northwest Indiana. I used to, being from Florida, I'd be there and be like, I'd be just driving from point A to point B, and I'd be like, you know, you people don't have to live here. Why are you living here? What is the point of being here? It's a free country. Go where the sun shines. But I can recall that to get through Bible college and get what I needed to do, what God wanted for me to do, I didn't watch college football for 4 years. I didn't have hobbies. You say, well, Pastor, if I'd gone to a college where they didn't have any dumb rules, I would have a better attitude about it. Let's talk later. Because I've discovered that dumb rules are for dumb students. Well, there was a price that had to be paid. And can I say very frankly tonight, you have a pastor because he was willing to pay the price. That's not to pat me on the back, but it's what's required. I mean, let's be honest. Do you want to face surgery and have to undergo life-threatening surgery, and your surgeon got through med school by using ChatGPT? So you think a people want that? You think somebody wants their children taught one day by somebody who's not willing to pay the price and sacrifice? See, we live in a day where we want revival. We want people to be saved. We just want somebody else to do it. Or we don't want it to cost us anything. It is said we need a revival of this, a revival of this, a revival of this. And as we are diagnosing what this world and our nation needs and our churches need, let me just offer a revival that we need. We need a revival of sacrifice. See, our country in general does not know what it means to make a sacrifice. It's been a long time since, and if you know our nation's history, it's been a long time when a nation has been asked to sacrifice a generation of young men. Because freedom demands it. It's been a long time since we've been, as a nation, required, and there's generations that have no understanding of that. But might I also offer that the same is true in our churches. We are, and this is why some churches are dying. It's not because they don't have a King James Bible or they stuck with the King James Bible. It's because there comes a generation that says, I don't want to sacrifice. Let's be honest. You expect your pastor to make sacrifices for the church, do you not? And by the way, I'm not standing up here complaining about anything. God takes very good care of me. You take very good care of me. But there's times when sacrifice is required. But is it all? Is this? If this is your church, should you not be willing to make sacrifices? And again, I know who I'm preaching to tonight. I know this is a sacrificial church. I know that we constantly make sacrifices for the cause of Christ, for this church. Please understand the heart by which I am delivering this tonight. I just want to deliver what God has put on my heart. And maybe this is for an older generation. Maybe this is for the younger generation. Or maybe it's just for all of us tonight to be reminded that if we are going to go to that next level that God wants us to go to, if we're really going to see our city saved, if we're really going to see this world impacted as we have the opportunity to do, we're going to have to make some sacrifices. Can God fit what He wants to do into my schedule? Or am I going to have to sacrifice? Let's look at some things about the call to sacrifice. Number one, there's the nature of true sacrifice. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. We know the implication there, that you offer yourself to God. A sacrifice isn't calling the shots. God, I'll do this if you do this. I'll do this, but I don't want to do this. He's offering Himself. Let me make a couple of points about
the nature of true sacrifice. First of all, sacrifice implies loss. You cannot offer a sacrifice and hold on to it at the same time. Parents, you can't come dedicate your child to God and then dictate to God what he's to do with your child. Church, we can't say that we're going to prepare for another generation and then decide what we want to do with that generation. See, Abraham could not keep Isaac and offer Isaac simultaneously. He had to be willing to let him go. We know the story of the widow who fed Elijah. She could not feed Elijah and keep her last meal. If she was going to do what God asked of her to do, she had to be willing to give her last meal before her and her child starved to death. Some of us think we're going to be at the front of the line when God's passing out crowns, don't we? But how many of us will be willing to allow our child to starve because God required it of us? Well, God would be a cruel God. His ways are above our ways. God is not a cruel God. Amen. Now, if you know the story, you know that she never ran out of food, but she didn't know that. But she couldn't make that sacrifice. Think about it. If this is the man that God is going to use to call my nation back to him, then it's a worthy sacrifice for us, a widow, and the poor, the neglected, to give our lives. So it was more than just the man of God. It was the prophet of God. It was the voice of God. It was so that the voice would not be silent, so that his people could benefit. If she was willing to do this, she couldn't hang on to it and give it. True sacrifice means something dies. Our will, our pride, our plans. Sacrifice also implies love. We give up what we value for someone we value more. Young ladies, if you're going to marry a man, if he's selfish, don't marry him. Amen. He's supposed to sacrifice. Well, I want to get what I want. You come last, dude. Don't have children if you're not going to sacrifice for them. Love comes with sacrifice. We give up what we value for someone we value more. And if we're not willing to sacrifice for somebody, we don't love them more than we love ourselves. See, God is the ultimate example of this because he loved the world and he gave his only son to prove it. Love always gives, and the measure of your love is the measure of your willingness to sacrifice. I'm not preaching to a people who don't sacrifice, but let that sink in right there. Love always gives, and the measure of your love is the measure of your willingness to sacrifice. God may call on you to sacrifice, and this is a very broad subject. It may sacrifice financially. It may be to sacrifice your time. It may be to sacrifice your dreams. It may be to sacrifice mom and dad for your dreams for your children. But you're willing to do whatever it is in whatever area God asks of you. And can I just say, for him to make a sacrifice for God, it's not really that big of a deal in the grand scheme of eternity. He did send his son to die for us. And as I preach this tonight, let me just remind you, I'm preaching this to myself. Because we all have a tendency to say that I need, I deserve, I've paid this price, whatever. And just more sacrifice is required. And more sacrifice is required. Sacrifice implies faith. It's trusting that what you surrender is safe in the hands of God. I'll use the example of dedicating your child and then thinking that you can rear them better than God can. And by the way, Jesus did establish the church. He did establish there to be an under-shepherd, the pastor, to oversee the church. And he did know when he put your family in this church that I would be the pastor. So there comes some faith You can't have faith in God without having faith in God's plan. See, it's trusting that what you surrender is safe in the hands of God. It's a decision you make, a faith decision as a parent to say, I'm trusting God with that child. I'm trusting God with what He does with them. Abraham believed God could raise Isaac again. Faith says, I may lose it here, but God will multiply it there. When you give to missions, you give to the cause of Christ, you give to the church, do you really believe that you're laying up treasure in heaven? Isn't that what the Bible says?
Yes, sir.
Then why are you so grumpy about it? You're going to get it again, and it's going to be multiplied. We said, number one, there's the nature of true sacrifice. Number two, there's the tragedy of a costless Christianity. 2 Samuel 24:24, if you want to note that, it says, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. Several times in the Bible, there's a reference. Moses did the same thing. I'll not make this sacrifice. Well, let me give it to you. Let me provide for you. He said, no. I won't make a sacrifice without costing me something. Aren't you thankful when God says, well, I'm going to provide this for the church, or I'm going to do this for the church, but what did it cost you? A sacrifice is when it costs us. We cannot fall into the trap, church, of living a costless Christianity. Can I just be very transparent with you? That as a pastor, what God has required of me with this church and this ministry and the things that He has put in my hand to serve Him, And y'all remind me all the time, Pastor, take care of yourself. And I do need to take better care of myself. I'm not cutting out tacos, but I still need to take better care of myself. But I realize for me to do what I'm supposed to do, that it's likely going to affect me on the back end. You need to take that stress off of you, Pastor. Look around. How'd you like to be the pastor of the people that, you know, there's people you're mad at right now and you're judging? How'd you like to be their pastor? It's not possible in this frail, fleshly body for it not to have an effect, for it not to take its toll. And I want to live as long as God wants me to live, but I have to yield myself to say, if this is what God has put in my hand and I am to do it, I have to be a good steward. I have to be as wise as possible. That's why I'm not pulling an all-nighter and driving to Miami to fly out. But at the same time, it's a sacrifice. It's one that we have to be willing to make. It's not costless. See, we've built an altar of convenience. Many want to serve if it fits the schedule, if it feels good, if it doesn't interfere with the rest of life. But sacrifice doesn't ask, is it convenient? It asks, is it worth it? And whatever we do for God is worth it. See, we've not just built an altar of convenience, we've confused blessings with bargains. We treat service to God like a transaction. If I serve God, He'll bless me. Sacrifice isn't bargaining with God, it's belonging to God. You read the Hebrews 11, that great faith chapter in that portion of Scripture where it says, and some did not, I'm paraphrasing, some did not receive the promise. Those that were martyred, those that lost their life. Well, you give it to God and you'll be blessed. Oh, by the way, here's the lions you're going to be fed to. Now, from an earthly standpoint, you say, that's not a blessing. But read what the Bible says about a martyr's crown. Read about the Bible says about the blood of the martyrs and how even the book of Revelation, it is speaking, it's demanding for justice in how many people. Stephen was martyred, and it gave us the Apostle Paul. Right. We've confused blessings with bargains. We've replaced surrender with self-preservation. Sometimes churches shrink from sacrifice because they fear loss. And man, we never get, I'm thankful that we have the leadership that we have and the deacons that we have, and a lot of churches are being destroyed because leadership treats what God is trying to do in ministry and reaching the world, they treat it like it's a budget meeting of a Fortune 500 company. And I think you ought to be wise with money, and I think you ought to be good stewards with money. But a pile of cash in a bank account isn't seeing anybody saved. And by the way, this might just be a good time for me to throw in. Everybody who's been who complains about money ain't given none. That's just those of you trained to be pastors, just write that down. That's more you're going to get in church ed or whatever. Just if they complain about it, they ain't given none. We've replaced surrender with self-preservation. Number three, the necessity of sacrifice for the next generation. This is where it's going to get, it hasn't been personal yet. It's going to get personal. I don't mean in a bad way. Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6 reminds us that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. We want to reap in the joy. But you have to sow in tears to reap in joy. There has to be an investment. There has to be some skin in the game, if I can say it like that. There has to be tears sowed so that you can reap in joy. There's a necessity of sacrifice for the next generation. We might say, I want my kid to go to a Christian school, but I want them to have everything a public school should have. They ought to have the same sports program. They ought to have the same social construct. They ought to have the same. Why? Are we not willing to make sacrifices for the cause of Christ? Are we not willing to make a sacrifice so our children can be taught the Word of God? And I'm not hearing any complaining about this, but it's just a good reminder for us, the mentality, why would I want to put my kid in that? They don't have. That's the whole point. Right. It's not a public school. It's never going to be a public school. I don't want to resemble a public school. If the only difference between a public school is because one says Christian and one doesn't, what's the point of that? I'm okay if my child goes to Bible college, but it better have everything to offer a secular college has. Or maybe as a young adult, I'd be okay going with that, but I don't want to miss out on the experience. That's a small price to pay, isn't it? For Jesus saving you, calling you, willing to use you. And let me just say, I'm not embarrassed about my ministry training. I'm not embarrassed to say that I had the privilege to train underneath Dr. Jack Hiles. I'm not embarrassed to say I went to an independent Baptist Bible college. I'm not embarrassed by that. And if you're rearing your children, and if you are if you're going to Bible college, you shouldn't be embarrassed by that. Can I just say, I'm very disappointed in my generation, because my generation had leadership that would say, it's better that I send you to the truth than I send you to a campus. And yet they benefited from the truth, and now they choose a Bible. I didn't say God chose it. They choose a college with the name Christian on it based on the campus and the experience, and they say things like, well, I want my child to have an experience. When will they ever get married? If only God could put two people together. I mean, we went to a pretty large Bible college and he still couldn't get it right. You understand the point I'm making tonight? There has to be sacrifice. And with the things that are going on in this world, and those that we look to in the past, not just from the pages of Scripture, who've paid an ultimate price, do you know how pathetic we sound? If I go train and I set myself aside, I won't be able to do this, and I'm going to have to trust God for my future. I'm going to have to trust God for my spouse. I'm going to have to trust God. What will I have to fall back on?
Come on, preacher.
See, I'm built different. When I surrendered, I surrendered. And God's either going to do something, and by the way, you've understand this about your pastor and his leadership, either God's going to have to show himself mighty, or he's going to be the world's biggest fireball. Because God's worthy. See, let me say, the necessity of sacrifice for the next generation, I hope everybody's okay right now. If we want our children to sacrifice, we must show them what sacrifice looks like. If they see us choosing comfort over commitment, they will do the same. If they see us making excuses instead of sacrifices, they will grow up thinking that serving God should never cost them anything. And to serve God, we should be willing for it to cost us everything. Let them see mom and dad serve when it's hard. Let them see mom and dad sacrifice and say, we're going to do without so that we can be a part of what God's doing. I'll never forget, I was thinking about this afternoon. I see Mrs. Wiles sitting there. Years ago, we had a campaign called the Summer Surge. How many of you who are here remember that? And the whole goal was in the summer, usually everything dips in the summer, but we were going to have a summer, we're going to surge. We're setting goals with giving. We're setting goals with attendance. We're setting goals with souls saved. And I'll never forget Brother Wiles, who's in heaven now, coming to me and saying, well, we were going to buy a new car, and we were going to go on this vacation, but now I'm going to put it off so that we can be a part of the summer surge. A man who's living was at the time, he had retirement, but he was willing to put off. Now, I'm not saying that you have to do that, but you should be willing to. And what happens, we set a good example for those coming behind us. But by the way, I feel led to say this. I don't want to create something that's not there. But when you sign up for a ministry, you sign up for God to pay your bills. If the military is still serving in a government shutdown, when it gets tight in the summer, it's okay for God's people who are in ministry to say, you know what, I'll tighten the belt a little bit. So if you hear of that, there's not a problem. It's just called, we do what we need to do for God to take care of us. A growing problem today is that parents are not willing to make sacrifices. Again, I know who I'm preaching to. But let me put it this way. It goes beyond that. They try to shield their children from ever having to make one. Sometimes parents will rearrange their schedule for sports, vacations, convenience, but won't adjust it for church, ministry, or service. Then when their children are called to give, to go, or to stand, mom and dad step in to run interference. Christian parents who are faithful to church three times a week many times are the greatest hindrance to their own children. See, then they don't want their son or daughter to miss out They don't want them to have to give up too much. But if our children never learn to give up, they'll never learn to give their all. Can I just, Mom and Dad, let me give a caution. Protecting them from sacrifice is protecting them from spiritual growth. I love it. We do a campaign from time to time. We say, we want to do this. And then I have young people who want to commit to it. That's a wonderful thing. Can I also say, when it comes to the necessity to sacrifice for the next generation, every generation owes a sacrifice to the next. We've got too many soft churches. I want to stand on what I believe, but I don't want to ever fight about it. Well, if you stand for what you stand for this book, you're going to have to fight about it. I mean, let me remind us, the devil is real. He's not happy with what's going on in God's work. And he often comes to us in people to try and get us to change what we believe and do something different. And part of my responsibility as your pastor is not to let us get soft as a church. Pastor, we fought our battles. Well, the moment we get to a place where we don't want to fight any more battles is when we are done. And in many ways, our own nation has let the enemy come in and will be destroyed from within. How many churches is the same way? See, every generation is a sacrifice to the next. I will not apologize as your pastor for emphasizing and pressuring for your children to give their lives to God. And some of you young adults, you may have forgotten the time and the place that you surrendered and were public about it, but your pastor hasn't, and God hasn't either. We have a responsibility. Part of why I believe what I believe, part of why I stand the way I stand, because I feel like I owe the previous generation something. I can't squander the sacrifice. Each generation has that responsibility. The question is, will the next generation have that same testimony of us? Will they learn from us? And then will they be willing to give to the next generation? If this generation refuses that altar of sacrifice, the next generation will inherit an empty church. Say, Pastor, I don't want to give my life like that to the Lord. I don't want to give my life. You preach about it. I want people to be saved. I just want somebody else to do it. Well, you shouldn't have been born in the family you were born in. You shouldn't have been a part of this church. God put you here. He knew the emphasis. He knew the opportunity. You can sit on a, matter of fact, you can run to be in ministry somewhere else and be out of the will of God. What does God want from me? May I end mercifully with number four. There's the example of Christ's sacrifice. Philippians 2 reminds us that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus gave up heaven's glory for earth's grief. He traded a crown for a cross, a throne for thorns. He embraced the cost. And that's something that we need to get to. We need to embrace who we are. Embrace what we believe. Embrace the sacrifice required. If he gave everything for us, how can we hold anything back from him? There is a reward of sacrifice. God never forgets a sacrifice made in his name. Hard to use example. You can lose for a season, but you'll gain for eternity. The world measures wealth by what you keep. Heaven measures it by what you give away. And can I just say this, at the risk of being criticized, I usually don't take those risks of being criticized. But I'll take one tonight. Some of you may bristle at this, but you ought to rethink leaving a big financial inheritance to those that have turned their back on God. We take God's blessing and we turn and we give it for those that have rejected God to squander. At the risk of being criticized, when you get your estates ready, you ought to leave something to your church. Well, that's not what my financial planner said. And Pastor, you're saying my financial planner said I need to do this and this and this so that I can have this. You're just saying that for your own benefit. Oh, you're not paying your financial planner? He's not getting a percentage of what you're putting in that account? Of course he's going to say it. And I'm not telling you to do anything that God does not tell you. I'm just making a point that there ought to be something that says, I'm going to give to God. We need to have a call back to the altar. I'm not just talking about the altar here, but the altar of sacrifice. Sacrifice is not outdated. We could go back to the book of Acts and say, what a wonderful thing. 3,000 people were saved and the church multiplied. But there was a man named Stephen who sacrificed his life. There were those early Christians that said, we will give everything and we will live in our poverty so that the gospel can get to those who've never heard it. But we live in America. Well, we've got to have the newest car, the newest iPhone, the newest everything. And if God's blessed you with that, I'm not saying it's a sin to have it. I'm just saying we ought to balance this with what can we do for the cause of Christ? Well, Pastor, I can't give the missions. But you can have a Netflix subscription, a Disney Plus subscription, and all these other different things. That is just what value does it add to your life? Pastor, I hope you get the money you need for your vision. It's not my responsibility. It's responsibility for all of us to make ourselves a sacrifice. God, what do you want? Sacrifice is not outdated. It's the foundation of revival. See, if we want to see souls saved, we want to see homes the way we want to see them, healed, churches revived, we want to see our city reached, we must return to the altar and say, whatever it costs, I'm willing. I will not offer thee, which costs me nothing. Think about that verse of Scripture. We are very good, generally speaking, we are very good at offering what other people have to give. Pastor can give his time, and I don't mind giving my time. Why don't you give your time? You know, I was thinking, you know, we went on our little trip, and we were driving a lot, and I was thinking about somebody who grew up in this church, somebody who felt called to ministry, and they went somewhere else to serve, and I was trying to help them. And I was just thinking of all the time I spent away from my family and my home, all for them to just turn their back on everything and just walk away. And I got to thinking about that, and it's like, they wasted my life. Meaning that time, I could have been doing something else, they wasted it. And I wasn't happy about it as I was driving down the road. But then the Spirit of God had to rebuke me and say, you didn't give it to them. You gave it to me. This would help some of you who your children didn't turn out the way you reared them. Well, I failed. No, you were given that to God. What am I saying to us as a church tonight? Whatever God requires of us, let's be willing to give it. Well, Pastor, if I totally surrender, I don't know what's going to happen a year from now. You think you got it so planned out that you know what's going to happen a year from now? I mean, you have been paying attention the last 10 years, right? We don't know what's going to happen a year from now. But God does. God does. You know, there's what God has put on my heart the last couple of weeks, this morning, tonight, the debt that we have. We have to pay that debt. We owe the world the gospel. How do we do it? You have to make some sacrifices. You have to make some sacrifices. Many of us, if not even most of us, know what I'm talking about, to live a sacrificial life and make some sacrifices. But tonight is a good time for our church to reevaluate or just determine, I'm not going to get weary in it. I'm looking around and nobody tonight looks hungry. God's taking care of us. And I've preached this to you and I haven't said it in a long time. I'm not going to spend money having an extra inch of padding in our seats that we could put into reaching people. This is why our schools are important. This is why I felt led to present this need before our, because it's like, well, it's just a school. No. We're training future ministry workers. The vision is for us to bring them up and say, okay, what Sunday school class are you teaching? What Bible study are you going to do? Our young people, absolutely. What are you going to do for the Lord? Let's just train them and get them ready. We have to understand that God certainly is serious about this, but I'm serious about reaching Jacksonville with the gospel. And so we have to bring them up. You say, can't you get them from anywhere else? I've seen them from most places. No, it's up to us. What sacrifice is God speaking to you about? Is it your time? Is it your talent? What a shame to have a talent you can use for God and to never use it for God. What a shame. Well, God wouldn't have given me this ability to make a living and to make money and do all of this and do all of these things. You think that's your ability? Imagine if people grow up in a church like this and they have character instilled in them, a work ethic invested in them. People who want to help them reach their potential, and they start reaching their potential and they say, look who I became. I've outgrown my church. I've outgrown my Sunday school teacher. I've even had them tell me that they've outgrown me. I just say, you're probably right. I'll either be invited to your coronation or your funeral one. Because you can't outgrow God. Hey, what is it the Lord's speaking to you about? What sacrifice? Is it financial? If the pastor mentions giving the missions and you bristle, that's not a pastor problem. Pastor's always talking about money. I'm not always talking about money, but when I do, why does it bother you? You know, every advertisement you see talks to you about money. Everyone. But there's a difference in that consumer and investment in the cause of Christ. Is it your time? Is the Lord speaking to you about sacrificing some time? You can't build a Sunday school class, Sunday school teacher, without sacrificing some time. You can't. It's impossible. Talent, time, treasure. Maybe tonight the message is you're already doing those things and the Lord doesn't put anything else in your heart. It's a good reminder that what you're doing is right. And the emphasis of what our church is doing is right. Because it takes some sacrifice. You young men that feel called to the ministry, don't get enamored with the pulpit. Because there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes before you ever get to a pulpit. It's sacrifice. It's doing without sleep. It's carrying the burden. And quite frankly, there's only some things you can communicate an accurate truth because God's had to put you through it. Get enamored with, what can I give God? And if you give God your life, you'll be happy wherever He puts you. You'll be happy. And He'll give you exactly what you need. You can be the smartest person in the room, besides me, of course. You can be the smartest person in the room. But His ways are so much higher. What He's done for us is so much greater. I don't sense this from our church, but don't look around and think what others perceive have and say, well, why is no? God's been good to us. And again, I referenced this last week. People make fun of our church building. But I believe this with my whole heart. There's some buildings being constructed in heaven because we're willing to have church wherever God will let us assemble together. We could throw up another structure, but there's some people in West Africa that assembled in a building this church paid for. We'll see that in heaven one day. And quite frankly, in America, we've gotten too good at building cathedrals and not enough interest in just reaching people for the cause of Christ. Hey, don't get weary in well-doing. Young people, I'm so proud of our young people. I put pressure on you. I put pressure on our young adults. A lot of my preaching lately is pointed at them, which means they need it. Pressure on our teachers, but I'm proud of them. I'm proud of our young people. I'm proud of our teenagers. A lot is required of them. There are those that are in full-time ministry that couldn't keep up with the schedule that our teenagers do. They're in school, they work, they fundraise, they participate in sports, they're in music. They go soul winning, they're in ministry. They were here cleaning the church yesterday. That's why it looks so shabby. I saw them say, what are y'all doing here? We're cleaning the church. It's like, y'all don't even clean your own rooms. Our young adults, I put pressure on you. I'm going to. But I'm proud of our young adults. Our young couples, I'm going to put pressure on you. Have you given everything to God? What's keeping you from doing more for God? But I'm proud of our young couples. But if we ever get to the place that we're not willing to sacrifice, there are times when God comes and I don't have anything on my heart that God has put there and says we're going to have to. I'm just saying as a general rule and principle, God's people have always got to be willing to sacrifice. See, Pastor, you're asking 100 people to give $1,000 towards our college and our school. Yeah. Well, I would have to... I would have to
sacrifice. You do what God asks you to do. Give to missions, I would have to... To teach a Sunday school class, to try and help build a Sunday school class, I would have to set. You know? How about the call to sacrifice? Who would surrender tonight to the call to sacrifice? I don't have anything I'm putting before you to say sacrifice this or this or this. I'm just saying, as God leads, who'd be willing to say, God, you got me. You got me. When you make that vow, when you give it, it's His. It's His. Father, help us as we